Hey, this is Cleveland Brown, and you're listening to the About Last Night podcast. I guess your TV must be broken. Ha ha! Just kidding. Actually, I'm not kidding. You're bored.
Hey, happy Monday. Welcome back to the About Last Night podcast. Hope you had a great weekend. Thanks to everybody that came out to Acme Comedy Club. One of my new favorite rooms. Unbelievable. Shows are great. Some crazy moments that were captured that will be posted. But yeah, shows are great. Minnesota's a great comedy town. Who knew? This weekend, big week of shows. Tomorrow night, Comedy Store, 8 p.m., main room. And then doing Doug Loves Movies at UCB at 9:30. So come out to those shows. And then Wednesday, I'll be at the Whistle Bar in San Diego, headlining one night only. And then Thursday here in LA, and then Friday, the big Kevin and Bean April Foolishness show at the Microsoft Theater with Jamie Lee, Ray Romano, Felipe Esparza, Eddie Ift, and Greg Fitzsimmons. All those tickets and info at adamraycomedy.com. And then Saturday, of course, Brad and I doing the live ALN at Moon Tower Comedy Festival in Austin, Texas, with Big J Ogerson and Jessica Kirsten as our guests. Can't wait for that. All that ticket info at adamraycomedy.com. Brad Williams this week is in Austin on Thursday through Saturday at the Moon Tower Comedy Festival. So get tickets and come out, see the live podcast Saturday the 27th at 8 p.m. at the North Bar in Austin, Texas. Jessica Kirsten, Big J Ogerson are our guests. Gonna be fucking great. Today's episode is a return guest and one of the funniest dudes on planet Earth. His Netflix special, The Tennessee Kid, is out right now. You've seen him on Conan, The Tonight Show with Fallon, and just so much stuff. I think he's got a show in the works right now. He's amazing. It's Nate Bargatze, the hilarious Nate Bargatze. Follow Nate on Twitter and Instagram at Nate Bargatze. Follow me at Adam Ray Comedy. Follow Brad at Funny Brad at ALN Podcast. ShopAdamRay.com for all of my merch, beanies, hats, shirts, AboutLastNightPodcast.com for ALN merch. And, this week my album drops, Read the Room, on Friday. You can go get it anywhere albums are sold. Very pumped. Recorded at the Punchline in San Fran. And I think you're going to dig it. So go get it. Get it for a friend. Get it for yourself. Get it for your friend's self. Yeah, you can get it at AdamRayComedy.com or, you know, iTunes, Spotify, all that jazz. Sirius Radio is going to be playing it, too, on Raw Dog. I'll be posting when... But Friday, Saturday, Sunday, a couple times during the day, the full album on Raw Dog, Sirius Channel 99. So pumped about that, too. And She-Ra Season 2 drops on Friday as well. So go check that out on Netflix. A lot of great eps coming up, so make sure you subscribe to give us a 5-star rating, comment on the iTunes page, and enjoy all the fun that's coming your way. Now that we got the tour dates, Twitter handles, and merch info out of the way, sit back, relax, and enjoy a brand new episode of the About Last Night podcast with the very, very funny Nate Bargatze.
Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. Got a midget and a Jew, so why don't you sit down and listen to our dope podcast. Dinner or breakfast, Brad Williams and Adam Ray are here for you any time of the day. So come on and treat yourself right. It's about last night.
It just never comes out. You're like,
I think it went out.
Yeah, I think it went out. You didn't hear, you didn't get the
no
bump?
No buzz? You didn't get no buzz?
Nothing.
Do you have your publicist or who sets up when you come to LA?
Well, that was the publicist that, but I just had the only, I would never have a publicist deal with you on this. The only reason I did is because they have the schedule.
Yeah.
And so then they know what the schedule is. And then also like Netflix gave me a car, like a driver.
What?
So I was like, well, then put it in there because okay. It's in the system and I got the car today. So
is it a nice car?
Yeah, it's, I mean, just a driver. Like it's a
so not even a car, just a guy.
A guy driving
who would drive a car. Oh, okay. No, there is a guy with a car.
There's a guy with a car. It's like it's just like a chauffeur, like driving around. He just sits around, and I go out there. Then he drives me the next thing. It's the greatest thing
that's awesome.
Been a part of.
Now, now that you've had that, do you kind of want that back home in Nashville?
Oh man, I was like, I just want to make enough money to have a guy drive me around. Like,
isn't that the dream? It's like the first class of the. Of the you know,
well, you always see it on those reality shows, like with I watch all the real the realty, like selling houses, and they always have like cars.
Yeah,
like they have people drive them to this stuff, and it's a lot in New York. I mean, it'd be more. I like driving.
Yeah,
but like out here, like that's like unreal. But it's so expensive.
It is. I do appreciate though, by the way, that you if you had responded back with. If your first response when I was like, yo, if you're in town, like we want to do the podcast, if you said, see publicist, as your response, yeah, I would have been
insane,
like, you know what, just see yourself out of this conversation.
Yeah. Nate's changed.
I'll do it next time for sure, though. I'm going to have like a layer of people you have to go through, and some that are not even involved in my career.
Yeah. Like, it's like, why are we talking to his Uncle Terrence?
Yeah. And I'm like, well, did That's he the say I could do it?
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Did Terrence, Uncle T give the approval?
Yeah. I would. No, it would never. You can always text me and I'll just
you're great.
The show. But yeah, the only reason I did it, you need to get in the books. So Netflix.
Yeah. Well, you're that busy rolling. Now. First of all, your third special?
It's, technically. At an hour on Comedy Central, half hour Netflix,
yep.
And then hour of the year.
Mm-hmm.
I did the presents too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but yes, like. Third, that's probably the real... Three and a half specials, two the halves that count.
Right.
I'm piecing together specials. Like, I'm like, well, are you throwing some other
like,
stuff?
Like, did some other stuff on Fallon. Like, if you piece that all together, that's probably one special.
I can scrape together a special. Yeah, I mean, we can scrape together a special. Yeah.
Sure.
Lower for material.
It's
The Tennessee Kid, streaming now on Netflix. Yeah. And I gotta say...
Well done, sir.
Look at this.
I feel like it's almost... do you take offense if people say, this is your best work? Do you go, well, what about the other stuff?
No, it is. I mean, it's the most excited. I still like my Comedy Central hour.
I'm glad you said that,
and
me too.
And I wish it, there is definitely, like, when I get done with that one, I was like, I'll never come up with anything good.
Wow.
Like, you know, but that's what you do that with every joke. Yes, you come up with a new joke, and you're like, I'm probably the least funniest. Like, it's hard to come up with a new joke.
Yeah, and then once you just, you've gotten a joke to that point where it's, you know it's going to do well every time, and now to just... get rid of it and be like, no, you have to do that again now.
Yeah.
Like, it's a daunting task.
Yeah, dude, right now, like, coming up with new material for this, like, so I was very happy with this hour.
Mm-hmm.
I was very, like, when I was on the road and I toured with it for about a year and a half, and I knew, like, all right, it's hitting, you know, when you're on the road and you can tell, like, this stuff's, like, really hitting.
Yeah.
Like, so it's going to be good. You do get nervous, like, how's it going to translate? But I did know it was good. And then, so, yes, now coming in with a new hour, now you're having people, like, legit... know you, they know mm-hmm. your stuff, and they're there for this reason. And so, like, coming up with this next hour is, like, very daunting. Like,
sure,
and,
pressure.
You know, yeah. That, and, I mean, you saw this special, had like, the last special you had on Netflix was the half hour, which was the stand-ups.
Yeah.
And that was, you were part of a lot of different comics on one bill. Now, this was just you, and tons of comics were tweeting about it. It was all it was all up on
that feels good, right?
Billboards.
That's the greatest. I still never saw that billboard. Someone took a picture and sent it to me, but they the comics tweeting it, like, that's always like a huge thing. And like the different types of comics too that were doing it was very nice. Were guys that would be obviously in our circle, like us, that are just like idiot road comics. Yeah. We're all dumb on the road. Like, but then you have like other, you know, it's very nice.
You span the gamut. You got like open mic to Brian Regan.
Yeah, he did not do it.
Oh, okay.
Well, he hates my comic. No, I've never.
Shout out to you, Brian Regan.
Yeah.
And challenge is thrown down.
Yeah. I would love it.
Can you tweet a compliment?
Some reason he hates me, dude. I just have no idea why.
Did you have people coming out of the woodwork that hadn't seen you yet? Or because that's what's great about this profession. I feel like there's still people that go to comedy clubs. They're like, this is my first show. Or people that are discovering people like yourself, right, for the first time.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, it's going to be a mass amount of people because it's like, even whatever, like, you can tell, like, when you go on the road, the tickets you sell. Is you can do clubs and then you're still like, you have some nights that are sold out, some nights you're not.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so now it's like, we have like a fall tour they're announcing, like some of those shows are selling out and they're the biggest places I've ever played. And we're adding shows to a couple of them.
This is the Good Problem to Have tour. Starts in September.
So they're like a lot of that. Like, so yeah, it's definitely a lot of people that are coming that are new and you can tell, and people message you like, I've never heard of you, but then I watched this, and you know, so it's, there's definitely a lot of, you know.
I tell people that, like, the biggest difference in is when you're doing shows is like when the people in the audience now to see you and not just the people that are like, well, it's Thursday.
Yeah.
Let's go to a club. Let's see if this fucker's funny.
Yeah.
Like when you actually have the people that are like, oh my God, we're seeing Nate Bargatze.
Yeah. You have a lot less problems to deal with in a crowd. Like, you don't have the heckling gets cut down immediately just because they're there for a reason versus just being drunk. And like, I'm not, and I was having a mix of that. I did a show in Tampa last year at the Improv, and I you could feel a mix where I would have, there's a lot of people up front that are there for me, but then there's still a good group that are in the back that just wandered in.
Yeah.
And then a
that
fight
room is so
out.
Deep, right?
Yeah, yeah. A fight broke out during that show. a guy punched another guy.
A good fight where you stopped and watched?
Straight up, he punched him.
Okay.
And it was in the, you know, that it's on the layers, like the balcony.
Yeah.
So it was in the very back. So then the people in the top, you know, they can't see. It's enough that you have to talk. Like, I mean, a guy punched him.
Yeah. Did you hear the punch?
I saw it.
Shit.
I just saw, like, someone spilled a drink. And then it just was like, boom. And then they just swung and punched.
And it's kind of exciting, right?
And I'm like in the middle, not even at least towards the end. Like,
so you can't,
so much
more. you can't even wrap it up. Be like, all right, well, that's how we end that show. Bye.
It's like, that's enough. We did enough. It's like, I still need to do so much more time. and then you just kind of have to talk about it. And, you know, there's nothing that can really prepare. Your preparation for dealing with that is just being in a room, like being around like awful things.
Yeah.
And then you can just, I don't even know what I said. I don't even, you know, like
it's just push and pull of like, you have to address it, but you don't want to give it too much attention. You're hoping that you can, but you have to also assume that everyone is wanting to see the completion of this fight before they turn their attention back to you.
Yeah.
Unless you are just like, yo, like that's going to be, you know, let's, what I'm talking about is actually more interesting than that in that fight.
Yeah. Yeah.
You hope so.
The other one, it was at Parlor Live.
Yeah. Seattle.
Fire.
Nothing good ever happens in Seattle. We all know that.
Well, okay. There's a lot of great comics that have come from there.
I can't think of any.
Name them. Name one.
Kermit Apio. Unjumble those letters. It's Adam Ray.
Weirdly, before I was at Stardome in Birmingham, which is another one that's like,
I'm doing it coming up.
The dude owns it great. Like it's a good club, Bruce. But it can also have moments. And Fire Alarm went off during that show the week before, and it was great. No one left. No one, they didn't like, it just was on for just some of the show. Like, and then, then I go to Parlor Live next week, goes off again. So I'm back to back weeks. And then Parlor Live, they make everybody leave. And it was just so funny to see the week before, like, nobody left. And then Parlor Live, like, we all have to leave.
Well, because Parlor Live is in, like, this big
mall.
Building mall where they
Billiards,
probably have a
movie theater.
Yeah, they probably have, like, a corporate
There's
thing
a fire code.
Like, we have to do this. Whereas,
in Alabama, they're like, if you want to die, that's on you. If you want to burn to death, fine. That's your story.
Yeah.
That's in Bellevue, Washington, they're like, nah, dude.
Now we got it. And I met, so I had to walk down with the audience and I met one of your friends. I have no idea who they were, but they told me that they were friends with you.
Well, there you go.
That's
there
see
go. That one person in Seattle person says hi.
Says hi. They said, oh, I know Adam Ray.
Well, like, I know my brother went to your show.
He goes, Adam still doing it? That's what I have to ask him. I goes, is he still bouncing around? Like, you know, yeah. Ask an old comic if he's still bouncing around.
Doing a lot of cruise ships.
Yeah, you hope it, like, you're doing enough cool shit that you don't get somebody like
that doesn't know that you're doing.
Because I remember the last time I truly got asked that was a kid from college who was in my fraternity at USC. That this was about like 6 years in. So like just starting some like, you know, good feature work with Bobby Lee, but nothing like, you know, of note to post about.
Sure,
and he was like, still doing comedy? And I was like, yeah. And then I just, you know, but I also was still working at Universal Studios. So I was like, he's like, because I saw some picture of you as Wolverine. And I was like, well, yeah, that's what's getting posted. Because that's like
fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, that's what pays the bills.
But I'm trying, man. He's like, oh, cool. How long are you going to try that for? Yeah. You know, I actually got to get out of here because this conversation is bringing down all the self-esteem I had for today.
Yeah.
I have a certain amount.
Now, I would think that like when there's the fight in the crowd, like if you're Bill Burr, who's like an angry yelling comedian, that kind of makes sense where you could be like, hey, sit the fuck down, you know, whatever. Yeah. Like you're dry and kind of slower and that's your delivery. So like, do you have to like stay in the quote unquote Nate Bargatze character?
Yeah. Can you Bargatze it up?
Yeah.
No. It it stays like this. It's very calm. It's like that's why I've never really had a ton of, you get heckling like because people are drunk, but I always like you have to listen.
Yeah.
So like I make sure that like, I've learned that was a New York thing I learned. Like I had to learn because you have to follow so many different energies on stage.
Right.
So it was a matter of how quick can I get this audience into my rhythm? Mm-hmm. And so then you learn to like get them into your rhythm as the quickest way possible that I don't have to waste like 5 minutes of my act before they go like, oh, I get it.
Right.
And so you're just trying to slowly figure that out. So I just always like keep, I just stay in this rhythm and you just talk and like, you know, you just make like comments about the fight or whatever, but you just stick with your, you never want to try to, I've tried to go out of my energy and it doesn't work.
How about in real life?
In real life, it stays, it's like this. I mean, I can have very strong feelings about stuff and be emotional, but like.
So when Vanderbilt loses, are you just like, well, shit. That's horrible. Like,
oh, what are you going to do? I just am the most mad I've ever been in my life. It's just boiling on the inside.
It's actually kind of strange when you put out your fandom of a certain team, because then whenever that team does anything good or bad, you will hear about it from your fans. When Vanderbilt loses,
they tell me.
Yeah, you're like, hey, so that must have sucked for you.
Yeah.
Right? You're like, yeah. Yeah, it did.
Yeah, there's a lot of fans of other teams of schools that I don't, but I try not to like do anything too openly like about Vandy, like tweeting stuff or like I've never like tweeted like whatever thoughts I could really have if they had a coach there I didn't like or they had like a something I didn't like that they did. I try to like not do that because now you meet them. That's the hard part too. You start meeting these people.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
And then you're like, I know our football coach is like, I know, hey, he's awesome. And so then you're like, but you're like, it hurts you. I have no problem with our football coach. But if I ever did, it would be like, I know the dude. Like, yeah. I can't just be like, bro, you got to go, man. Yeah. Like, I love Vandy more than I know you.
Yeah. So I know you got a wife and kids, but I don't know.
Like,
do they really need to keep eating?
Yeah. Yeah. Who cares? You've made enough, dude. Like, just.
Was there an initial, like, holy shit, I'm kind of famous now moment where they're like
like something happened?
Yeah, like another celebrity hits you up or you get
I've had some shit. Yeah, like Ariel Winter from Modern Family like watched my special and like showed it. Like I met Eric Stone Street, who's also on Modern Family, came to my show at Kansas City Improv.
Whoa. There you go.
And I didn't see him afterwards, and then Bouise talked after. And
yeah.
He either messaged you or something. I didn't know he was there.
Yeah.
I mean, dude, it was like nobody was there. Like, it was just like, you know, it was like a very weird thing. So, yeah, you do have some, like, stuff happen. I mean, getting recognized a little, it's more than it was.
Is it strange when someone comes up and, like, they'll say something to you about your own personal life? Like, hey, Nate, how's your kid? And you're like, do I know you?
Who are you?
Yeah, like... why are you asking that?
Is Adam still doing comedy?
Yeah. What's he doing? Is he bouncing around? I had to talk with my daughter about that. Like, my daughter asked me recently, like, she was like, she's six.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And she was like, are you famous? And, you know, then when you have to ask, you're like, no. Like, you're like, well, I mean, I could say I am, but like.
I don't know. I got a driver in L.A. Yeah. What does that mean?
What do you think? I take it as judgmental. Like, you know who I am, don't you? Yeah.
Look at this house. It's big, right? Yeah. Toys? Don't ask questions.
Yeah. Where
those toys come from?
We're in a room that's pointless right now. In a house. There's no reason for this room.
A reasonless room.
That's when you know you got money.
Yeah.
When you have rooms in your house, you're like, I don't do anything.
Yeah. I barely spent time.
I forgot this room was here until just now.
Why are we even in this room?
Yeah. She asked because a show she watched, like some cartoon she watches where a girl on the show is famous and has fans. So she was like, well, people like you. I was like, what made, you know, like trying to be like, why are you saying this? Because I don't know if she introduces me on my special. She gets the idea of it, but adorable. Like not really gets it. Like, you know, I don't know, you know, to her, that's all she's ever known. Like, is I've done late night, or I've been on TV or something since she was alive.
Mm-hmm.
So she saw it from some show and like that person has fans. So then she's like, well, you have people that come up and say they like your show. But then we had to like, also I had to like talk to her to be like, yeah, you have to realize that like sometimes you could talk to someone that could think knows us, because they could know a lot about us, but they don't. We don't know everybody.
Whoa.
Like, it's a weird, like, I don't know if that's ever a thing, but you have to tell.
Yeah.
She could be like, well, that person knows my dad's entire name and, like, where and when I was born.
That can mean he's a good friend.
Yeah.
And then, he knew his Starbucks order.
Knows, I mean, very personal things, like his Starbucks. I realize my daughter's never listened to my act. Like, she's not putting this together. I'm like, maybe you watch my comedy, you would get...
It's not like she's going to know, you know, that there's things like Wikipedia and the internet to really get to know someone's back.
To really see that stuff. And so it's just trying to make her, like, aware. But yeah. But I mean, like, you know, I'm not like, there's not a problem. I can go any, like, you know, we're famous. We've all had it. Like, you guys have had it too. Like, you've been in movies. But like, where people are going to come up and see you. I do it as a joke now, opening, where I say, like, when people, like, come up now, will be excited and take a picture. But, like, I say, like, when they leave, I wish they knew that I had to explain who I am to, like, 10 people. Like, because people just see it and they're like, I mean, they're furious. Like, they're like, why did they do it?
You know? Yeah.
Because they have no idea.
Right. And, and they see this one person.
They can't believe they're meeting you.
Yeah, and they're like, I can't. Oh God, I never got to. And then you're surrounded by people like, who the fuck is this guy?
I think a couple pictures you take after are pictures of people that don't know who you are, but they're just like, might as well do. You know,
yeah,
like,
might as well do this.
I'll figure this guy out later.
Throw it up on the internet. Be like, this guy famous?
Yeah,
and then just like see what my friends say.
See if they say anything.
Yeah.
Like, oh, and I bet then, that guy's got a room that doesn't matter.
Yeah, he's got. He's doing real good. You know.
The worst is when you have someone that just comes up and goes, "Where do I know you from?" And you're like, I don't want to do this.
Yeah,
like I don't want to go down my IMDb page right now.
Yeah, and you're not going to know me from any of the things that I say. Like that's like you're going to say a bunch of things like I don't know.
Yeah, you're going to say Fallon, Netflix, or like no, and they're like Pandora.
Yeah,
that's where. Like, yeah, and you're like fuck. Okay,
Pandora is enormous, by the way. Too.
Yeah.
How much do you get that?
A lot.
How much that outside of Netflix? Oh, that was the most serious. Pandora, Spotify. Was the reason everybody's come, like,
I'm about to drop an album on Sirius and Spotify. I mean, everywhere, but like,
crazy.
I'm really, and I haven't done that yet with those platforms.
So
I'm hoping it,
you're playing all day long,
got
dude.
All the candies after that,
just,
you know,
just gets really eight bowls. Gets together. You're like,
seats
get a little more. Your late Fridays, like, it's not bad. That's what they tell you. It's not bad. No, there's people out there.
What about on the Joker's cruises? Do you get,
those people are like into them, like they're you have people that know you because I've just been around those guys, but they're into them going out with them with the Impractical Jokers.
Did you do some dates?
I don't think I've done any dates. I've done that cruise. Maybe I did one. I don't remember. I don't think I've done any dates with
their
them.
Fans,
but
like, are
I've
crazy.
Been around.
You've been to those shows.
I've been around them enough. Like in Warf, me and Sal are like very good friends.
Yeah.
Like, so and like when you're with them, but like when you go out with them, it's, I mean, you're out with Brad Pitt. Like it's,
oh yeah,
people are losing their mind.
Yeah.
And everybody knows them. I mean, they're on TV.
Constantly,
24 all the time. A day.
It's like
I don't know
they
who else
just
is on.
Rename True TV
Impractical Jokers.
Yeah, that's what they're playing. It then it's like, all right, well then we play a half hour of a guy doing magic, but then we're back to the Jokers.
Yeah. And like let's get back to that. Yeah.
And that's no disrespect to that. I'm forgetting the magician that has a show on there.
Yeah,
but,
I should know him too.
but yeah,
I know. Yeah.
It's all Jokers.
It's all Jokers, and that show does good.
Yes.
That magician show's like good.
Yeah.
Like, but they just have it. It's something that you can play all day long.
Yeah.
And their fans are just
other than Kardashians and infomercials. What is on as much as Impractical Jokers?
Not nothing. It's that, and it's
sports?
And they put it on everywhere. Like you get your oil changed. It just they just have it on that.
Yeah.
It's a go-to.
It's a go. Yeah, those guys get mobbed. I mean, Sal cannot go.
Yeah.
We did a tour with me, him, Bert Kreischer, and
I saw that. That looked like the most fun.
And, it was great. And they were, but we were going through the. I mean, it's a mix of like you got Bert, who was everybody. Bert getting recognized a ton too, though.
Yeah,
he has a lot.
And now people are recognizing him with his shirt on.
Yeah,
and that's how you know
that's a whole extra layer.
He's doing it.
Yeah, he's really making some real money now.
He's got the shirts and skins fans.
Yeah. He doesn't. What about this? He takes his shirt off. Then how do I know you? He takes his shirt off. You're like definitely.
Yeah, there's that nipple.
By the way, there's that nipple. That should have been an 80s sitcom.
Well, that was gonna be on True TV, but there wasn't enough room.
Yeah.
Like, what are we gonna do with all these Jokers reruns?
We got the Jokers, then we got the Jokers.
Yeah. Some magician, and then do we have room for There's My Nipple? No.
There's that nipple. So you already just talked yourself out of an EP.
It's not an important show to me. I'm too busy watching Jokers. Joker. What are you talking about?
Fair enough.
But like you and Bert, because I've heard like Dan Soder told me some legendary stories about you and drinking.
Yeah.
So like you and Bert on a tour together.
It was a lot. The first time me and Bert met was at Skankfest, like in the first year they did. There's the Legion of Skanks.
Yeah, that's a comedy festival, people.
And they
you're like Skankfest. Like, holy Skankfest. Shit, you guys like, party!
You're like, what was that about? You're like, we went as fans. We were not, but they we hung out there, and like we had it was in New York, and there was like a problem. Like it was like where like both our wives were like furious. just like so mad, and then so it was a lot, and then we did that tour, and we did this thing, and it was kind of the same. It was like, you know, Bert's the real deal, man. Like, it's that dude. I was expecting to like when you get around him to be like, oh yeah, I don't drink that much. Like it's just like a thing, but it's as much as you think.
Yeah,
and he's awake all the time. And
he's a professional drinker.
Yeah,
as far as like
he's gone pro.
Well,
I mean like, he's another plant. Yeah, they will Hall of Fame.
They will hang his liver in the rafters one day.
Yeah. We'll have it up.
Just like he's stringing it up. Like I'm not dead yet. I'm pretty sure you should leave this in my body.
Yeah, I'm going to need that in at least 2 hours.
Yeah.
How am I going to party tonight? Celebrate my liver. But he like knows the balance of like, I mean, tolerance and like just getting to know, you know, like when you first start drinking, you're like, all right, how much can I do and what can I mix? It's like, dude, he's got that nailed to where he's not going to ever put himself in a place where he's not going to miss out on fun, I feel like.
Yeah. He's consistent with what he drinks. And like, I just don't get how like he doesn't feel like I've stopped drinking. Cause it was like, I
completely
40. Yeah. Cause I'm 40 and I'm miserable. Like the next day is just not, I'm not going to have one beer and you just, the next day you can feel it. Mm. And you're like, that's insanity, dude. Yeah. Like I shouldn't be able to feel this. Like, it's just too, like, you know, it's all like Soder doesn't drink anymore now. Like we didn't drink on the Joker cruise and that was like a very hard place.
Wow. Cause that's unlimited alcohol and you don't have to worry about, how am I going to get back to my room? Someone's going to take you.
Yeah. Like, someone will get you there.
It's noticeable, man. You look like you've shed weight from it.
Oh yeah. I mean,
you feel better.
It's night and day.
Did you know this was going to happen? Like, is there a stage in your life when you're like, all right, I got a couple more years of this? Or did you set out and go 40s when I'm cutting it off? Or does your body and time just go?
I know one guy that cut off and he said he turned 40, and that always kind of stuck in my head. And then it was just like, you're getting busier. You realize like, you're like, I'm not going to be able to enjoy the things. Like, I don't like even like coming here and like the day I've had with like the press and like doing all this stuff.
Yeah.
Like I would have been miserable and probably canceled something. Just been like, I can't make it, dude, or whatever. Like not be a problem, but you just end up like randomly just get rid of a couple things. You're not as fun. You're not as like excited to do it. You're not happy to do it.
You probably wouldn't have gotten to talk to Larry King.
I didn't actually. He got sick. What? I was supposed to. I know.
What?
Yeah.
You'll come back out for that.
And I said, I'll fly just for that.
Good.
Yeah.
Come out, love like, that you said that.
And they, because they were like, you want a guest host? And you're like, what are you, insane?
No.
Like, you're like, the point is him. Yeah. Like, that's the point.
I like, don't want to.
Yeah, just whoever, dude. I don't even know who this Larry King was. So just whoever.
Hey, Mickey Mouse isn't here. You want to meet the Rescue Rangers?
Yeah.
No. I'm here for the mouse.
I'm here for the, I want the show, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you'll fly back for that.
I'll come back. I said I'll come back just for that. Good I'll move. Fly in
that's
for
that's legendary,
day, like,
dude.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's a big, like, you want to just talk to him, dude. Like,
yes.
He's getting older. So they were like, he gets sick and, you know, it's with how old he is. It happens where
you just want to hear him be like Nate Bargatze.
Yeah.
Like just that.
Yeah.
Like, okay, I can fly home now.
Yeah.
Just
can I use that as my intro?
For Tennessee kid.
Tennessee kid.
I mean, Jesus.
On Netflix.
Yeah.
Why are you the Tennessee?
Why are you famous?
Yeah.
We got a question. Looks like it's from your daughter. Why are you famous?
We got a caller on the line.
Daddy.
Dad, why are you famous? Yeah. We got a 6-year-old from Nashville, Tennessee on the line. Go ahead.
Nashville. Daddy. Hello.
Hello, Nashville.
Oh, man.
Apparently, it's your daughter.
I met him at the movie theater in the Grove once, and he was I was real baked. This is about a year into being out of college.
Yeah.
And I went up to him and I was like, I go, Larry, just way too much energy. Like, what are you? He's not your frat bro. What are you talking to him like that for? And he said the little automated snack machine, and he looks up and he goes, and I go, oh man, I go, movies are the best, huh? And he's just like, what? And I was like, so what are you guys seeing? And he just looks up and he goes, I'm with my nephew, do you mind? And I go, not at all. I just got interviewed by Larry King.
Yeah.
To which he did another long glare. And then I go, all right. And then turned around and walked away. Today's episode of the About Last Night podcast is brought to you by Lucy Gum. Oh, man. Do you smoke? Yeah. You can hear it in my voice. It sounds like I do. But I don't. But you probably do. Because, you know, life gets tough and you need that nicotine kick to get through the day or the week. Well, look, if you're looking for that boost in nicotine that you can enjoy anywhere without inhaling any smoke so that you live longer and don't have shitty-ass breath around your friends and family, check out the powerful, long-lasting flavors of Lucy Gum, available at lucy.co. No com, .co. Lucy.co. Basically, what this product is a gum that was designed by a team of scientists from Harvard, Stanford, and Caltech who were looking for a cleaner way to consume nicotine that wasn't cigarettes or, you know, inhaling clouds of fruity vapor. Lucy is a clean nicotine absorbed through the mouth in three delicious flavors. All you do is chew it like gum a few times and let it sit against your gums and let it do its work. And look, I tried it just to be able to talk about it. And shit, man, that nicotine hit me hard. My head was spinning. I couldn't do much, but I had a nice buzz. If you smoke, vape, or chew, you should consider making the switch to Lucy, because not only does this product give you the nicotine that you want, along with killer flavors, but you can literally use the gum anywhere that gum is accessible, which is anywhere, the office, a plane, an Uber, a subway. Maybe you're about to get into a fight, start chewing the gum to intimidate your opponent, right? They're like, dude, this guy's kicking my ass and getting some juicy flavors in his mouth. I suck. Use the discount code ALN right now to get $10 off your first purchase at lucy.co. That's promo code ALN and get 10 bucks off your first purchase at lucy.co. All right? Stop smoking, man. It's better for you. It's better for the environment. It's better for your mouth. Lucy.co. Promo code ALN. All right? And now enjoy a brand new episode of the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray.
I'm on board. I'm on Larry King's side, by the way.
Yeah. Entire story. Yeah. I hate myself for even having that story.
That's what you ask something, and clearly he wants you to go, and you...
Like, I doubled down.
Your story kept going. Like, I'm like, he's got to walk away at some point, dude. And you just keep rolling.
He was the second celebrity I saw in L.A. Leo was before that.
Oh, wow.
Had down at the Grove, bumped into him. He looked up. And he's just enough with his hat to go like, I'm sorry. And then as he looked up and seeing it so quickly, I saw his face and I went, Leo! And they just turned and kept walking.
Yeah.
Probably even faster. Because he's like, oh, great. Now I'm getting recognized. The whole thing I didn't want to happen.
Yeah.
Right.
And then Larry.
Man, that's two pretty big ones.
Yeah. Third one, Diane Keaton. Almost hit her with my car. Was on my way to Universal Studios.
Oh, my God.
To strap up into the Wolverine suit. Yeah. And it was one of those crosswalks in Beverly Hills where there's no light. Right? Yeah. So you just got to like the honor system. Slow down when you see a person coming, right?
Yeah.
Give them the right of way.
We hope.
I'm looking down.
That's the idea.
I'm looking down. So going through the crosswalk, all of a sudden look up a good 10 to 12 feet before the crosswalk and before I hit Diane Keaton.
Yeah.
So she looks up in a giant hat. Didn't know who it was until she looks up in the hat and goes, and I was like, holy shit, fire God, no, you know, life flashing before my eyes. And then she just goes, and I go, I'm sorry. I go, stick my head on, and I go, I'm fucking shot, I'm so sorry. And she goes, it's fine, glad it didn't happen. And I'm like, hey, no, Diane Keaton. And she just goes, I'm okay. And then I'm literally driving to work being like, and that would have been my story.
Yep.
Yeah.
Headline, fake Wolverine kills Hollywood icon.
Yeah.
Now, there's no way I'm sitting here right now.
The picture that they're like, they're just like us. It's like Us Weekly. Like,
they get hit by cars.
They get hit by
car carriers.
Just like us.
Now, if you kill Diane Keaton, does that ruin Woody Allen movies for you?
Is that like that would
or,
be
or does the Woody Allen stuff
no because I
ruin out
I'm able to shift and go they're you. Diane Keaton movies
oh okay
yeah,
there, yeah that's yeah. there you go
okay
who was your first celeb sighting in LA or in general
one of the first like when I was in when I started in Chicago I moved to Chicago first one of the first ones I ever saw that random was I saw Johnny Cash filming a music video in Nashville.
No way.
Then like Mount Juliet, which...
that's like...
He was on the back of a train.
That's God right there.
Yeah,
That's insane.
I was driving to my buddy's house, and it was the first like random, like... Because we're in like, you know, it's like a neighborhood of like this Mount Juliet. Like there's no reason for someone to be right there.
Right.
And he was standing on the back of a train. And I guess they were filming some kind of something.
What if he wasn't?
Yeah, there's still part of me that thinks it could not be him. It was in a long black jacket. Like, it was everything that makes me think it's him.
Yeah.
And I just go with it's him. But there is a little that I'm like, it could be just a dude.
He saw there was a guy walking by. He's like, let me get this guy, Johnny Cash moment.
Yeah.
Some rich guy that just has the money to stop a train and like wants to do a photo shoot. It's like his senior year pictures, his son's senior year pictures, and he has him go out.
What a great call. I definitely took some weird senior pictures near a train track.
Sure. It is funny that when you're like
I think they were pictures.
When you're like a country artist, you have to spend a lot of money to make it look like you still don't have money.
Yeah.
Like,
oh yeah.
Johnny Cash is rich as fuck.
Crazy.
And he's like, no, I'm gonna be on the back of a train like I'm a wanderer going through this land of ours. Yeah. And you're like, yeah, or you're
I've seen Us Weekly, the star, I want the people to think the stars are just like them.
Yeah.
Well, Johnny, nobody does that though. Yeah. So
nobody does that.
Yeah.
They have a lot of sightings in Nashville. They have like Nicole Kidman and
Taylor Lautner, like, or what's her husband's name?
Keith Taylor Urban. Lautner.
No, who's her husband?
Keith Urban.
Keith Urban.
Yeah.
I knew it was a cool name.
Yeah.
It's like, I knew that.
Yeah.
Isn't he like 18 or something? I don't know.
I don't know, dude. I don't know. You're the one who's Googling Taylor Lautner age.
Hey.
How old is he?
Listen, I know a few things about Taylor Lautner.
I'm going to go ahead and guess. If there was money on the table.
All right.
The over-under on Lautner.
Name that Lautner.
I'm not even really sure who it is, but he has to
be age that Lautner.
What age is that Lautner?
I bet he's younger than you think, or older than you think. I bet he's 20.
Okay.
And I think you think he's...
You think he's like 26?
Oh, I like that number too.
I think
I'll go with 20 because I was in 20.
Yeah.
All right. He's going with 20. Adam, what are you going with?
You said 18, so we're taking that off the table.
Yeah.
Not only sexually for you, what's that?
I don't know who this is. So I'm going on an age of like, this is like a made up person to me. Like,
Daddy, why is Taylor Lautner famous?
Yeah. Is he the, from the...
Take a guess.
The vampire movies? Or
got
the,
it.
Yes.
Got
oh, it. So that kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know. He could be older than 20.
I think he's 20. I said 26. Like 26. I'm going 26.
I'll go. All right. Can I change it?
Yeah, you can $1 me if you want.
Now that... I'll say 28.
28? Wow. Well, it's ladies and gentlemen, it is a tie because Taylor Lautner is 27.
Look how excited we both got.
Yes, we're so excited. Yeah. Like Jolly Ranchers, we're about to rain from the sky because you were 1 year off.
Yeah. Or if we had gotten at the right age, he would have showed up because that's how it works.
He walks in.
When three grown men try to guess Taylor Lautner.
He's outside. He's like, you can't go in. They didn't get it. He's like, all right.
Come on, they seem like good guys. Yeah. Taylor, you know the rules of this game.
What? Only if they get it.
Get back in the car.
What do I do with these confetti cannons? Well, you can't use them today.
God.
Damn it.
All right.
Take me to Boa.
What you're a big golf guy.
I am.
What's your dream?
Nice segue.
Yeah.
What's your dream golf course?
Speaking of golf,
speaking of celebrities,
Taylor. Yeah.
What's your dream? Well, like, let's just say threesome, because obviously Taylor Lautner would be part of it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Who you could golf with? Oh, I mean, it would be. You know, it's for you. I would have Tiger in there, but I don't think Tiger would be super fun to be with. I think you would have Tiger in there because Tiger's who he is.
You want
to
golf with the best, right?
You want to golf with the best. Yeah. I think Tiger would not be fun. I don't think you would get a lot out of him. I think I would make more jokes and probably I could probably make Tiger laugh more, and that would be what I'm going for. If it's straight, is it straight golfers or like, I mean, because you would like Tiger, Jordan, like, like those guys, but you gotta have someone that's fun, and like Charles Barkley would be like, you need someone that's like just gonna like be able to break energy.
Tennessee kid,
you know who I am?
I watched it on Netflix, man. You a crazy guy on Netflix, man. You a knucklehead.
Thank you. Oh, this is unbelievable. Are you gonna ride in the same cart or we,
I get my own cart. You gotta pack on a few more pounds. You could balance out the cart there, Taylor. Wait, are you not Taylor Lautner?
I am. 40 years old. He doesn't know. You know, all white people look the same. So yeah, I am.
I feel like Tiger would not have bad stories too. I feel like it's gonna be tough to break bread with him, and like you're like, oh man, like talking about some gig or some show, and he's like, Tiger, what's the craziest thing you've done, man? Like, you get on that topic of just like, you know, let's share crazy stories. Like, one time I cheated my wife and she broke my car and came at me while she was on pills. Yeah. Oh, wait, I was on pills. Anyway, who's up? You know, like, what is this?
And then Howard Stern had them on as guests.
How great was that?
I've listened to it a few times.
I was driving with Mo Mandel to some casino in somewhere in Northern California.
Yeah.
And we were listening to those interviews and we were like, this is the greatest drive of all time. Because that was unimaginable that he went through and was like, wasn't it a contest to see who
who is deserving more, just the best story.
One of the girls was like, he flew me Southwest Airlines. I remember like that Howard couldn't believe it. He's like, you got to be kidding me. This guy. So was it even business select? You know, like.
Nothing. Just sit in the back. Never. One girl wanted money from him, like for to pay for stuff.
And,
I mean, to have like that high profile of a person, have that go down, and then you straight up get all the information about it.
Right.
Like just all, like you get all the told everything that's like, it's unreal.
Yeah.
It's unreal.
He, did you want him to have a comeback in golf?
I still do now.
Yeah, me too.
Like, he's playing the Masters of this week, and then,
are you pumped for that?
Oh, dude.
Is that your favorite?
It's my favorite golf. I love golf a lot.
So it's like the Super Bowl for golf, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
This is it.
Well, it's an event like what is
no
the
other?
Yeah.
Jim Nance. Hello, friends.
I was about to say, like, it's the event that everyone's... I try to think of what my mom says when she shares a event of mine on Facebook or a show. She goes, it's the show everyone's been waiting for. And this is like a Tuesday night at the Ha-Ha, you know?
She's not going? Are you going to be there? Nah, I can't get there.
It's too far.
It is the show that we've all waited for as a family.
As a family! This Tuesday. We've been counting down Tuesdays.
Finally got a Tuesday. He never performs on Tuesday.
What do you love about golf? Because it's the one sport that I'm envious when I see like you and Santino and Jay Larson and
There's a nice comedian golf.
Yeah, there's a nice Nick Thune, right?
Yeah,
there's the golf.
Rory.
Mm-hmm. That I'm like, you guys look good. You look like you're having a great time, right? Probably.
I think it's a lot like comedy. It's like confidence is a huge part of it. Like, so comedy is like, you know, if you have a joke and you tell a new joke and you don't believe in that joke, it will never work.
Right.
You can start it, and if you don't sell it to the audience, it's not going to work. And there's no there's no reason they can even tell that. Mm-hmm. But like golf is like that too a lot. Like when you take a shot, you have to picture the shot that you want to hit. And if you do that, you have a much higher percentage chance. And I mean, it's just picturing the shot. Like, it's a very weird thing to be like, I can just picture this shot and it's going to happen. And you have to like visualize it. And like, you're out there by yourself, you're competing with yourself. It's just, I love the aspect of, I don't know. It's like just, I mean, it is crazy to be, I mean, Robin Williams had that joke about what golf, but it's like you're hitting this ball, it's 400 yards into a hole. Yeah. He's like, how many times is it going to take you to do it? And it, you know, I mean, when you just first hear it, you're like, it could take you 40 times.
Right.
And then guys are doing it in 3.
Yeah.
And like, that's like, it's unbelievable. And like watching the pros are just, it's another, they're on another planet, man. Like, those guys are, there's, you know, JJ Watt tweeted out like, because he golfs and, you know, he's this big 280 pound muscle. And he's like, he can hit the ball 4 yards.
How much do we think he weighs? Let's actually play this game. You know, how old is Taylor? Much does JJ Watt weigh?
Okay.
Keep going.
So
he's a big guy golfing.
He's a big, but then they have a guy that weighs 150 pounds and hits it 400 yards.
That doesn't make
like
any sense.
That's the part that's like crazy. And like
Michelle Wie has a good drive, doesn't she?
Yeah.
The female golfer?
Dude, they're planet.
That's my favorite part about playing golf is when I walk on the tee, everyone's like, oh shit, this is going to be hilarious. And then I can hit the ball like 280, 290.
Oh, that's crazy.
And people are just like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Like, and they trip out. And then they look at their son that can't outdrive me as a huge disappointment.
Yeah. And they're like, oh, like he goes.
Oh, I wish I had a dwarf child.
Yeah.
Like, that's what they're saying.
So you love the challenge of it too, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Do you want to get, like, when you go out to play, are you, like, is having a good time, obviously, at the forefront, but are you also, like, well, I hope I actually, like,
no,
like
do you ever, I, if you I were joking really around? I never really drank a ton. Right. I never really drank when I played. Mm-hmm. Like, I enjoyed and I started playing with a guy, a friend of mine, like, and we play a lot, and we've, like, started, like, betting a little bit, just trying to, like, make us stay focused, because it's very easy when you play by yourself to be like, I'm going to just hit another ball, like, and not really take it seriously.
Yeah.
And it's about, like, stepping it up and putting yourself under pressure to, like, then, you know, like, so you shoot good.
Do you get mulligans in the pros, or is that only high school?
Yeah. That's
you
in
shouldn't
high school.
Have probably even in high school.
That's me doing the short nine.
Yeah, like you're. Yeah, yeah. It's you do it like.
So they, screaming from the top friends. Of your lungs, today's mulligan day. It's not something they do.
No,
okay,
no,
you don't get that.
No, they do when you play even with people like.
Yeah.
there's no mulligans. You can, a lot of people do it. They do a breakfast ball, which is the first tee. You get two balls.
First drive. Yeah.
And then sometimes you do a mulligan and nine. If you're like playing with like a dude that like doesn't play a lot, you'd be like, let's just do a mulligan and nine. And like, you do it. But golf is a very like honorable, like you got to tell the truth. You got to enter your score in and, you know.
What's the best part of your game? Putting or driving?
I don't know. It's all like, I'm like fine at all. Like it's all fine. There's nothing that's like unreal. That's what they always say. Like to be golf, you either need to be like decent at everything or like unreal at one thing.
Yeah.
And like, that's where a lot of stuff can be like, I you know, I'm not shooting like the low 80s. Like it's not.
That's good.
Yeah, it's good. I'm not bad. Like, you know, you really just want to not be a problem.
Who do you think is the greatest golfer of all time? Is that Tiger?
No, I think, I think Tiger, it's they're just almost two different, it's like LeBron Jordan conversations, two different conversations. And, but Jack Nicklaus, you cannot not acknowledge what he did. That guy's got, that did, he's got more second place majors than almost majors he's got. So, I mean, he's one spot from maybe having 30 majors.
Yeah. See, and I would say Kim Jong-il is the greatest golfer of all time. Because
he shot an 18.
He shot an 18.
Like on 18 holes?
On 18 holes.
What?
That I mean, that's according to him.
Trump's not good at golf, is it?
I think Trump's like supposedly like...
Why'd you hear that 40 and slip? 80s, I go, 90s. Trump's not good, is it? I don't even consider him a beating living being. Yeah. I'm just like, is that thing
not good?
What does that thing do?
Does it hit the ball?
Does it hit the ball? The Kim Jong-un, like, I love like the...
Yeah, so the story is like, because when you... he played golf one time and his handlers were like, he shot an 18. Everyone's like, there's 18 holes. They're like, yeah.
He had like a bunch of hole in ones.
Yeah, they're like, it was all hole in ones. And you're like,
it's like impossible.
Yeah,
you're like, it is, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no way that happened.
No,
but if everyone questions
the best
him,
shot they, ever recorded in like a tournament is like a 50, Jim Furyk shot a 58.
Yeah.
And I mean, but like even in a video game, Tiger Woods game,
there's no way.
You could maybe shoot a 49 with like, you're
a couple cheat codes on.
Yeah, you got like cheat, like you're like, you know,
we
you're
souped up everything.
You're playing like the women's tees with like a 100 Tiger Woods.
Yeah.
And then like you're playing a video game. So you know, and you couldn't do what he did in real life. And he just said he did it. He's like, right?
Yeah. Shot an 18. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. So when Kim Jong-il died, everyone was like, all right, the dictator's dead. But my favorite tweet was by a sports writer named Rick Riley, who goes,
oh yeah,
we are not acknowledging that the greatest golfer of all time died.
Yeah, that's great.
He shot an 18.
Yeah, he's got a great book about golf where he caddied for a bunch of people. Rick Riley,
yeah,
it's awesome. Like he caddied for Trump, he caddied for like man, who did, like a lot of John Daly, like David Duvall, but then some celebrities and some like princes, and just like talked about like what they were like playing.
John Daly might be in my dream foursome. Just because that guy would be the fun dude with stories.
To play golf with.
That is true. John Daly's who you would want. That's the story.
The man said he lost like $120,000 in one sitting at a casino. So you're like, all right.
He's the one that there's a 30 for 30 on, right?
Yes.
He's the bigger guy, right? That gets real red in the face.
Oh, yeah. Dude, he'll leave a tournament sometimes. Like he just gets mad and he'll do like a 10 cup where he keeps throwing a ball down and then just hit them all in the water and then like leave a tournament. And it's so great because he's like seeing like he's just smoking a cigarette, walking backwards, like just leaves. And it's like his girlfriend and her kid with him. Like that's the like my favorite. Like it's never like his children. It's like that's my girl's kid. Like, you know, it's just such a funny, like it's like a perfect, like that describes a person.
Yeah,
if you're like who lives in their house, and he's like, this girl he's dating and her son hangs out too. Like, you know, like. And there's a country club in New York called I'm in New York, in Nashville where I grew up, Old Hickory Country Club. And the guy that just bought it owns Tootsie's. And so Kid Rock is like there a lot now. Like
nice. Kid Rock, John Daly.
Would park his bus in the parking lot and just sleep in his bus for like 4 days.
What?
I met him out there golfing. He's out there walking around. I talked to him for a second. I mean, when you talk to him, it's like everything you want. Like, he just tells you like a brief, almost like if he just, like someone telling you what his 30 for 30 is about. And he's like, I'll tell you real fast what it's about. Like, it's like that. It's like that conversation. He's just,
I'll summarize it in 5 minutes.
He's like, I've lost about 100 grand and he was smoking a cigarette. He had basketball shorts on, cut off t-shirt, no shoes, socks, and smoked a cigarette, and just was walking around with a group of eight, like, which is not supposed to do. And he just, you know, he talked to me. He's like, "All right, we'll see you at the bar." Like, you know, he's gonna go sit at the bar and drink, and that's what it is, you know. And that's John Daly. And that dude was the story with him. He was sitting at a bar once. And during a major, and Tiger comes by, and he's like, "Why don't you?" He's like, "Tiger, have a beer with me. Why don't you have?" And he's like, "I've got to go practice." And he's like, "What are you practicing all the time, man?" He's like, "Just have a drink with me." And Tiger was like, "If I had your talent, I wouldn't have to practice." Like, Tiger said that to John Daly,
which
like
was being a big, like, kind of a fuck you.
It's like, well, it's a mix of that, but it's also say like also that's, an how insane compliment. That's how that's how talented John Daly. John Daly is not trying.
Yeah.
And he's won two majors. And they're like, if you even somewhat just put effort into this,
right,
you have the natural gift to be the greatest ever. But you don't want to. I always heard about Rasheed Wallace too. I heard Rasheed Wallace was like he could have been, he's already great, but then literally could have been the greatest that's ever.
I always wonder
greatest when bald spot of all time.
Yeah. Solid.
Rasheed Wallace.
I would put that in the bald spot Hall of Fame.
Hilarious. I consider Rasheed Wallace one of the greatest basketball players, not ever, but like of his time.
Yeah.
But you're right. Like he won, you know, championship with Detroit, ripped it up in Boston for a little bit, was dope on the Blazers. But guess what? Like probably could have been gotten a max deal and been the guy somewhere. He was always on a dope with a bunch of other guys, but he probably, have we ever seen the blend of two worlds like that where it is the best talent ever and the hard work? And as soon as I said that, you know who came to mind? Kobe.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Where you Kobe. Go, the work ethic matched with the God-given talent.
Yeah.
Because like...
Jordan was like, I mean...
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, he worked hard, right?
Oh, yeah.
Legendary.
Tiger. I mean, Tiger was like, they all worked hard. I think it's everybody. Oh, okay. Actually, I think it'd be hard not to name people. One. I think that's the direction you should go.
Name five people.
Yeah.
Keep going.
Can all you right. name 10 people? Is that like, yeah, we're just going through this
just
long
10
list.
People.
The greatest... Babe Ruth would be like, probably he didn't work hard.
No, anyway.
I have no idea.
Hot dogs and beer.
Hot dogs,
You are doing something in your most recent special, the Tennessee Kid, that
streaming now on Netflix. Go watch it.
That boom. I'm like amazed that this is kind of becoming a trend in comedy where comedians are now telling sequels to jokes.
Yeah, like has anybody else done it?
Like, well, because I know like Gabriel did some like.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Did a sequel.
Okay, that's
and
one.
Like, I think Jim Jeffries did sequel.
All right, let's name who's not doing it.
Like, but it's just fascinating to me that because
very few.
Now it's like we always, it was always the thought that you put a joke up in the ether and then it's gone. Yeah. Now it's like, oh no, now fans are loving this so much. I need to update them on this situation.
Yeah, it's, I started doing it like because of the story I told in the first special, the Cape Fear Observatory, and then that guy died.
Yeah.
And I was getting all these, and I knew he died. Someone emailed me when it first happened.
It's the guy that runs the Gator Park.
The guy that runs the, yeah. And then, how he, you know, like how he died, like his wife shot him, like, and it was like an insane thing. Funny. So I started like, and some people knew that story. So that's when people started coming out and they know that story. And then I was like, well, it's such a crazy thing that I was like, I wanted to tell people. And then I did one on a special just, two, so people quit emailing me that you hear he died.
And
so you're like, yes, I have heard.
Yes.
But I mean, I would just get flooded with just like his, you know, and his wife murdered him. So it was like such a crazy difference of a thing that you're like, well, then that, and people liked it so much that you are, then you're acknowledging people like you, I think you're acknowledging something that they saw you do. Like, it's almost like, I know, we all know why we're here.
Right.
And then
I'm great
doing that. Yeah. I'm amazing, guys. I get it. Right? I get it. Like, and then, but I like did that. And then like the Starbucks thing that I did with that happened too. And then when that happened again, I was able to make it such a funny thing. At first I was like telling almost both stories completely and then just adding that stuff on. And then I knew when we were getting close to the special, I knew I was like, for me to be able to do this, I can't do those jokes again. So I need to do them in a way that, that if someone hasn't seen it, they're going to get it.
Right.
And then a way that they're not going to get like, I just can't be doing these exact same jokes. And then I need it to be good again to close on it.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Because you definitely can't just like, you could maybe open with it, but you can't just have it in the middle. By the way, I forgot to tell you. Like, you know, it needs to be
structurally
closed.
And now I think your next special is going to have a sequel to The Dog Bakery because they're like
so funny.
They're tweeting stuff out like that their business has gone up exponentially since you've done that joke.
Have they done like I saw like a story that's awesome. Like they're One of my buddies, the guy that opens for me, Brian Bates, like he's from there too. And so I want him to go, like, just to, he's just going there and, like, because he'll go in there and just act like he doesn't know me.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, just be like, so what's going on? I saw the Netflix special. Yeah. Even though this guy's open for my special. Yeah. And he's like, I haven't even heard of that guy. yeah, it's very cool that, like, you know, I didn't name the place. It's called Three Dog Bakery. And the reason I didn't name it is they kind of are like a franchise thing.
Mm.
And so
you
I
want just, to, like, sue you or something?
No. I almost, like, in the joke of the belief, I thought, like, if I name it, and, like, in my head, I'm thinking I'm, like, naming Target.
Yeah.
Like, maybe it's a bigger thing than I think.
Yeah.
And everybody's like, no, dude, that's a famous store. Like,
okay.
So I liked it being, like, just because it's franchise. So these people started that in a small town.
Yeah.
So I liked that was the idea of, like, it's a small town thing in this, but they, yeah, I knew, like, I knew that people were starting to send pictures and stuff of going there, and it was yeah, that's, it's so very cool.
Yeah I mean, it's like they're sending you pictures of dog bakeries. I unfortunately did a joke about how people take the small urinal, so now I get people sending me pictures of urinals.
Oh yeah, like just in their urinal.
Yeah, like, yeah. Hey, look, I'm using your urinal. Like, I don't want to see a picture of you pissing right
yeah.
now.
Yeah, that's all. That's,
can you not? Do you not know how to crop?
And
can
I
you?
Think that's inappropriate. I think you just sent me yeah. porn. I think you just yeah. sent me porn.
Your next special is just that, guys. No more urinal pics.
He probably could have just done 4 minutes of this. Yeah, why is it 59?
Yeah. So now, like, all I'm saying is like the next time is do a joke about, like, you know, cocaine and titties or something that
I want, like, yeah. that I really need. Well, the golf thing's been good. I mentioned golf, I've got a few emails of some, like, it's great. Some are just like, you can play my local track, like some golf course that you're like, I could get on that, like, course. It costs $8 to play that course. Like,
I can do it.
Yeah, you're like, I'll be fine.
Yeah, and but then, if you're like a groundskeeper at Augusta National, okay.
Yeah, I've had a couple, like, guys, Valhalla, which is in Louisville, and they do a major there, and then there's another course in Nashville called Honors. It's a top 25 course.
That is.
And so I had a couple of, like, those guys I've been emailing to be like, yeah, I'll come down there. Like, I'll do it. Like,
this is a nice one.
Yeah, these are the real deal ones. So, like, I'll definitely get you take advantage of that.
I think it's a known thing in the comedy world and in the world that you are one of the best storytellers. And I know that you have to have some understanding of that.
I started that rumor.
Yeah. Well, that's why it's so popular. That's why it's going around. Yeah. How much do you have to live, like you said, a year and a half before this last special of kind of curating material, right? How much do you feel like you have to live, I guess, to, and how many stories do you need to accumulate before you feel like you have enough to maybe put something down on tape, or even just writing one story, like because I'm sure you are having, you know, stories monthly, probably, like enough to fill an hour, but like, are you picking and choosing, being like, all right, like, and where do you workshop these other than the stage? Like, maybe you come home from something and you tell your wife and your daughter and you kind of use that as a gauge. I'm trying to get an idea of how you build, like, the horror story, for example.
The funny thing is, the horror story happened the weekend the stand-ups came out. It was that came out July 4th.
Yeah.
And so, like, the next weekend I was at Tacoma Comedy Club.
Yeah.
And we went to Mount Rainier, and all that happened. And
that is just one of the, it's just so fucking good. And there's so many.
I got given that story. Like, that's like, you know, when you get a joke and it's like done, and then it's fine. And that's like 5 minutes long.
Right.
And you're like, dude, this is,
it's
like,
done. Yeah. I don't have to do anything to it.
I don't have to do anything. Just, and this is a decent chunk at, like, so I got very lucky with that one to, like, come up. Cause what's funny is I was with Brian Bates or somebody, like, we were driving back, and he always says, because the horse was laying down, and then we continue to talk about it, making jokes about it the whole trip. We do all the Mount Rainier stuff. We go back, and then I pointed at him because he didn't see it, and I was like, it's right here. And the horse was standing up, and he always says, like, once he saw the horse standing up, he was like, well, the joke's over then. And then I was able to do it the way I was able to do it.
Yeah.
Like, where luckily my brain just, like, kind of switched that way.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And but it's hard. Like, right now I'm, like, trapped in thinking, like, yes, I do need all these stories. I need all this stuff to happen to me. And right now I'm having a very hard time, like, I don't have a great memory of always remembering stuff. And I'll talk to my brother and sister, my family, kind of be like, I'll be like, is there anything that we remember, funny things that happened? And I'll try to, like, come up with some of these stories. Right now I just feel like there's a lot of pressure to get this new hour because I'm touring.
Yeah.
So, like, sometimes when you put too much pressure on yourself, you can
miss out. You got blinders on.
Yeah, you're trying to force a joke that you can't do. Another one, like, I have Twitter on my phone right now, and I usually have it off because I had it because of the special, and I'm about to go off with it. Because sometimes Twitter, I've learned, like, then your mind, you start thinking jokes as far as, like, they can be very topical because that's what you're reading all day.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And so then when I take Twitter off, it's like that part of you goes away, and you're not even aware of, like, news.
Right, yeah.
And then you're a little more free to, like, then, like, see something that happens and then make that a, you know, some kind of story.
Yeah, there was so much in that. I mean, even the Mount Rainier stuff, like, and I've been there, and it was just, like, all your stuff about climbing that mountain was so, like, you just had so many beats and so many questions. I could feel you were just, like, peeling back so many things about that whole scenario.
It all just happened. It's like, I never break down a joke, like, sit down and be like, all right, here's, like, the joke. And then, I've never, like, wrote, but I put it in my phone. I think about it.
What did
it
you put
lot,
in your phone after that day? Like, after that whole experience?
Dead horse alive.
Yeah, dead horse alive.
Because that stood out. That's like, at that point, and the amount of discussion.
I don't know if I even have it. Like,
like, does your opener say to you, like, well, this is a bit? Or you just know after everything that's happened?
No, you know, like, it's a thing. You kind of talk about it, like, as it's happening.
Yeah.
I don't know. Oh, here. Seven. That's funny. I've never even looked at this. July 25th, 2017 is what I did. Mm-hmm. So I wrote, dead horse on the way to mountain. No way for a horse to lie down. They can't lie down like a dog. They just all have to go all in. Oh, that was a part where I was saying, like if a horse, like when a horse lays down, it can't, like, you know, a dog or a deer, it's a very natural, they can lay down easy. Yeah. But I imagine a horse just has to be like, here we go, like, and just, like, tips over.
Yeah. Like, it's like a drunk guy at a party.
Yeah. It's like they can't, like, gracefully lay down.
No.
Walking up to the 70-year-old ladies in there.
Yeah.
You know, some of it's like stuff that I'm not even in there. Marilyn, I don't know. Just like random things.
That's awesome.
But like, so it's like you just put I put that in there. And then it's like I go on stage and I just do it and it continues to like get a little bit longer.
Do you like to write on stage?
Yeah, that's where I.
Yeah.
It's
so you get enough of you get your, when you like, you know, jar your memory for enough bullet points for stuff like that in your phone. And then you're like, this is going to be enough for me to remember, but also then to have some freshness to it when I talk about it on stage. So I'm not like scripting it out entirely.
That was
something
I learned, like, I always felt like Bill Burr and Patrice O'Neill, because I was in New York when they were like, you know, coming. Mm-hmm. They were like obviously bigger, but they were not who they are
right
now. I mean, one was alive.
Yeah.
Patrice is dead. So they definitely was not at that point. But I remember them like being like, it's about writing stuff word for word. It was like, you want to be conversational. You want to be able to, like, you know, then when you do, like, if you ever do your jokes on the radio, I always kind of think of it like that. Like, if you have to do a bit of yours on the radio, like, you tell it way different than you would sometimes on stage. So it's like trying to make those kind of blend together so I can tell a joke that's in a conversation and, like, and making it feel, you know, just it's very smoothly and it feels like you're just talking and they don't know. You know, they can't tell that you're like, dude, I know where all this is going.
Yeah,
I know
how
far I am to the next laugh
or
the part that's going to make you laugh. I know way more into it than that person does, but it's about making it. I change little words, like little ands and these, and like just a little rhythm of it kind of changes almost every show.
Mm-hmm.
Just so you're saying it always a little different. You can still have some excitement when you say it instead of like getting like, feel like a robot up there, you know?
Yeah, I like that way too. It's you know, it's a easy way to make it fresh all the time for you, right?
Oh yeah, it's the best.
And if that's not happening, then like, how are you, you know, what's the motivation to get up and do it?
Yeah, zero.
Money
what is it? Money helps.
On this tour coming up in September, is that going to be a tour bus tour for you?
No it's going to be flying that town to that town. Maybe we have,
you're so
a
old
car,
school,
like, well, I don't have, they just don't have, they didn't line it up as a tour bus. Maybe next year, like, we would get to do like that kind of thing, and like I would love it. There's a lot of tour buses in Nashville. Nashville is a great city to be in because of
to
rent a tour bus. Most of them go out of there because of music.
Oh yeah.
So it's a little bit like easier to rent one, and I think it'd be very. I would love to do it. Like, I mean, it is getting very. It's getting very tiring, like, going to these airports, and then when you do this kind of tour, I've done some of these dates now, like, or like that I just did, like, you go to Milwaukee and then you're just literally land, do show, next morning get fly to the Minnesota, get off, do the show, next day get up, go home, and then like you're never seen a city, you're never really having an hour.
There's something about being on the bus where you can wake up before you're getting there and kind of like soak in the preview before the presentation,
like, enjoy it and like do it. Like, it would be I think it'd be fun to do a bus, and I think we talked about it. Yeah, I think we'd like maybe eventually get to do that.
Fuck yeah.
Hopefully, yeah.
NateBargatze.com?
Yeah.
And then you're about to go off Twitter, but...
Hopefully take it off. I'll still have it on. I have people that help do videos on my social media, so they always post stuff. But
what about the calculator app? You going to keep that on?
You know, I don't know. It's up in the air. My wife, my daughter gets on it quite a bit, and we're trying to get her off.
Have you tired of the trick where you do, I think it's 8,085 and it says boobs?
The boobs. We haven't done the boobs. She's 6 years old.
You fucking idiot.
Yeah, just like a great.
Just
like,
maybe. You can tell the podcast is coming to a close from
Brad,
the questions.
Yeah, I know. We're like, Brad, you're never going to meet my daughter, but.
Show your 6-year-old the boobs trick?
Yeah. Well, now you did in that voice, so that's, that's actually more inviting.
What's wrong with this voice?
You put a cigarette in my house, like on the ground. You're like, dude, that's carpet. Like,
hey, the world's an ashtray, baby. Nope, nobody says that. Not a catchphrase from anybody. Not even the Joker. Before we wrap up, how has comedy changed? Like, 6, obviously, like, dope age, right?
Yeah.
I can only, again, attest from having nieces, but them being 9 is very cool, but at 6, they were even cooler.
Yeah, very cool. Like they're.
Do you want to be around, home more at right like in this time? I mean, it seems like the time.
It's a good amount.
Yeah.
No.
I'm gone just a bit right now.
No. Yes, you want to be home more, and you want. Yeah, there is different stuff. I mean, like it's a hard thing too, because like sometimes you want them to miss you more than they might. But it's a good thing that they're not like just. She's got a lot of stuff going on. She's got a lot of friends. She's playing a lot. She's in school.
Dope.
Like, I don't want her to be like, you know, because at the beginning when I was leaving some, it was just, it could be brutal. She packed a bag once when she was 2, and that was like, I almost quit comedy. Oof. Like, I had a suitcase, and then she's like, well, I'll go and throw in like a dolls in a suitcase. And she's like, we're leaving. Me and Daddy are going on a trip.
Oh, dude, I thought she was like pretending to run away because you were leaving.
Oh, no. She was trying to come with me.
Where the fuck is my brain going? I thought she was like, if you're leaving, if you leave, then I'm also leaving, but going the other direction. Yeah. Okay. So she was adorably.
She's adorably trying to come in, but then I have to tell her she can't.
Oh, man.
So, like, it is. And then she did run away. You got ahead of me. She did run away after that. And we didn't see her.
I just found out she was sick.
Yeah, until she was 6, she came back. And so we had 4 years where she was not there.
So when she said, are you famous? That was a legitimate question.
Legitimately, like,
she
did not know. How are things going?
I've been on Twitter.
I've been gone. I would love to catch up and see what. So, Dad, how are things going? I heard some stuff about Netflix, but, you know.
Oh, my God. That's awesome. Yeah, I always wonder that balance with, like, the work and dad life.
Yeah, you try to balance it.
Like, you
try
to crushing it.
Yeah, you try to do it. And like, I like her, them being in Nashville. We have a lot of family there. FaceTime is a huge thing.
It is
a lot.
Yeah.
And like,
game changer.
It's a, you know, I try to have her be very involved. That's how I liked her doing my special. That was very fun for us.
Great.
Like, you know, she says it's our special and like very exciting. Like, it's very like, you know, trying to have some kind of bonding, like kind of, you know, it's a weird bonding, but it's like the bonding that you have to.
When she says it's our special, do you want to be like, hey, you did like 2 things that I wrote for you?
Nothing.
Yeah.
And I actually came, and I came up with it. Who do you think you are?
Yeah, the Tennessee kid. Yeah. I'm the Tennessee kid, Dad.
I know. No. She's like, it's our special. Yeah. Like, what are you? She got paid. Because they have to pay her.
Oh, like SAG or whatever?
Yeah, yeah.
The she's camera card like, now?
Yeah, she's in the... She's got a union. She's got her own health care. I talk to her agent quite a bit.
She's going
to
audition for Blackish next week, I think.
Right? Yeah, she's doing real good stuff. Like, there is a comic that, like, their daughter's on Modern Family.
Oh, really?
Is she a comic? Like, I don't remember if she's a comic.
I don't know.
Someone's like... there was something. I don't remember. There's someone, like, one of those kids, like, their kid, like, blew up.
Oh, shit.
And then the parents also trying, and like, but just the kid like gets a show, and then you're like the kid's the most famous,
right? Thing and now, the kid gets to make decisions around the house.
Yeah, just decide to be like, we go clean your room. Whose room?
Who pays this mortgage, Dad?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah, when you're under my house,
yeah.
It's gotta be the weirdest thing.
All right. Well, Tennessee Kid special. So good, dude. Man, you fucking crushed it.
And
go see Nate on tour.
Get
one of the best in the world.
Get the tour dates, and you'll have a brand new hour by then. No pressure.
Yeah, no, by the fall, I'm hoping.
My mom is demanding it. I told you.
I got your special mom coming to Seattle. Yeah. We got 3 shows now.
You had another one?
We had another one.
Good for you, dude.
Yeah.
It's
80 seats. It's not that big.
Speaking my language.
Yeah.
Like, his mom is saying it's the show.
It's at your mom's house. I'm doing it for your family. You just have enough. You have a lot of family coming out.
She's like, it's the show you have to be at.
And your mom calls me and is like, would you do one more show? And I'm like, God, dude.
My friend
Bob Adam's got a lot of family.
Is that Neptune, I think, right? Or more?
Yeah, no, Neptune.
Neptune. That theater rules, dude. Yeah. I saw Blair Witch there in 2001.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it was a movie theater before it was. That's why it's so iconic to me.
Yeah.
You're in Blair Witch territory.
Blair Witch territory. I'm doing as good as Blair Witch. Yeah. It's like did real good for a moment, and then you don't want to think about it anymore. But right. Like that's all I want. Like, I got a nice peak right now, and then like someone's dad's gonna be like, "Nah, I used to go watch that guy." Like,
you know. It's really good back in the day.
Yeah, he's good. He's good.
You're the man, Nate.
See you. Thanks. Thank you, guys.
Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Boy, they're a lot of fun, huh? Why don't you subscribe on iTunes to this fucking podcast? Give them a 5-star rating so this midget and this Jew can feel good about themselves for a couple minutes. Also, get on your iPhone or Android and get the podcast app. You can also listen to it on Stitcher or aboutlastnightpodcast.com, where you can hear past episodes with great guests like Lisa Kudrow, Paul Feig, Kevin Nealon, Bob Saget, Dion Cole, Chris D'Elia, Adam Devine, Michael McDonald, Jaleel White, Bud Friedman, Steve-O, Harlan Williams, Tom Arnold, Ron Funches, Rick Glassman, Blake Anderson, Anders Holm, Jessamay Peluso, Joey McIntyre, and many, many more. I'm Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast. Good night. That's it, right? You got it? Sweet. Boy, it smells good in that booth, by the way. What kind of candle is that? Hanukkah Willow? Nice.
Meh, what's up, dog? This is your pal Bugs Bunny. Say, I got a question for you. Do you know who has the head of Elmer Fudd and the body of Foghorn Leghorn? Why, that's Adam Ray and Brad Williams. Ain't I a stinker?
When you're ready to ride Metro, we want you to know we're ready for you. Here are just a few of the people at Metro to tell you how we're doing our part to keep riders safe.
We're cleaning like never before, with hospital-grade cleaning.
You'll find hand sanitizer stations all over the Metro.
No mask, no Metro. Need one? We have a few extras.
At Metro, we're doing our part to keep the D.C. area moving. Find out more at WMATA.com/doingourpart.